Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
All right, we're going to continue our sermon series called Presence. Anybody excited about getting in the Word of God this morning? Come on now. You know what it is? I sense this. Y'all know summer's coming. Everybody's kind of getting relaxed. You know, you already got your mind. I'm going to this beach. I'm going to this place. But summer's not here just yet. We got to continue to move forward and get in this Word of God and see God do some great things. And we can take holidays, but we want to take a holiday from the Lord, right? And so here we go. Turn to your Bibles in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. And we're going to continue in this sermon series called Presence. And when we kicked this off, it wasn't just about the presence of God, but it's about us as men and women to be present, that it's important to show up. It's important that we don't miss a moment, we don't miss an opportunity, because when God moves, we want to be able to move with him. But if we're not there, we can miss something. And so Pastor Nathan kicked it off talking about the significance of gathering. The Bible talks about it in Hebrews. It says, let us not neglect the gathering of the saints. Why? Because when we come together, something supernatural takes place. We encourage one another. We believe the best for one another. We can pray for one another. And something happens when we gather. And through that, God produces a community. But in order to be a part of a community, we have to be present as well. And I preached a little bit about what happened in Acts chapter 2, which we're going to read the beginning part. But towards the end of it, it talked about what it was like being in that community of believers, that they were breaking bread, that they were praying, that they were getting in the Word, and that they were fellowshipping. And it said that God added to the church daily. And that's what you're experiencing right here, because we are a church that preaches the authentic Word of God. We don't add to and we don't pull from. We preach the Word of God. And when you do that, things begin to happen. Change begin to break off your life. Breakthroughs begin to happen. The supernatural takes place when you preach the Word of God, because his Word doesn't return void, but it accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. And then last week, Pastor Nathan preached about being present and bringing our gifts into that presence. When we're together, we're supposed to bring our gifts, our talents, our treasures, and everything we got into the house of the Lord. We need to be a blessing and not a burden. We need to come in and be ready to give what God wants us to give from whatever it is that he's blessed us to have. And today we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. We're going to talk about something I really believe that's been on my heart and it's on the heart of the people here this morning. And I want to talk about breakthrough. Is there anybody this morning that needs a breakthrough? I mean, you're at their point where you're like, God, if you don't move, I'm not going to make it. God, I've been standing on your promises. I've been doing all that you commanded and called me to do, and I need you to show up. And if you don't show up, I don't know. So I need God to move. And so in Acts chapter 2, leading up to this moment, I want to talk just a little bit about the importance before the breakthrough. What kind of happened? See, right now, many of you are in a desperate situation. You've gone through some things. This maybe tore up your soul a little bit. You've seen stuff in social media. You've seen the shooting at Uvalde. You've seen the break things that's going on up in Buffalo. You've seen things that have taken place all over the nation in the Ukraine and places that kind of wear on the psyche. And right here before the Acts chapter 2, right before the day of Pentecost, our Jesus was beaten badly. He was crucified and hung on a tree. But just like he said he would do, he'd get up on the third day. Now, could you imagine being those men and women that were following Jesus and watching this horrific situation take place of your leader? What it did to the mind, what it did to the heart, and what it did to the soul. And as they're going through this, they're starting to forget a little bit about Jesus saying, I'm going to rise on the third day. And so they're devastated internally. Is he coming back? Is this really going to happen? And he does get up. And the first people to meet him at the tomb were the two women, right? And as they were there, they saw the angel. The angel commanded them, hey, go tell the brothers, go tell the guys to meet Jesus in Galilee. So they get up and they run and they go find him. And they say, guys, our Lord and Savior, he's risen. Could you imagine the emotion? Because think about it. It wasn't all good with Jesus. Remember, Peter denied Jesus. The guys fell asleep on Jesus in the garden. Many of them weren't there at the cross. And now he's risen. And he's going around and he's showing himself to everybody. And 50 days later, coming up upon Pentecost, Jesus has an encounter with these men. See, they're locked up. Many of us in this room have been locked up. Can't get out. Afraid to move around because we don't know what's going to happen. Man, can I go have a meal and not get shot at? Can I drop my child off at school and them not get hurt? Can I get on the subway and maybe not get attacked? All this fear is gripping us, so we've been locked up. But I'm here to declare and decree this morning that breakthrough is coming. That God wants to get you out of your mindset of fear, get your mindset into faith, because God wants to do something with us as a people. And so here they are, Jesus showing himself to Thomas. Thomas, you got to believe, man, I'm here. Touch my hands, touch my side. They're all kind of getting excited. This is something good's coming here. Man, Jesus, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom? Is this the time you're going to come through? Jesus speaking boldly and plainly to them. Stop worrying about the times and the seasons. Stop worrying about what's going on out there. Stop worrying about, is this the end times? What you need to do is get some power on your life and be a witness. And I'm challenging you this morning. You need to get some power on your life and be a witness and be about the Father's business. So many of us get bogged down in the right now. But we don't serve a God of the right now. We serve a God of that's getting ready to be, that's getting ready to do. And you have to be able to step into that. Stop worrying about the times and the seasons. Is it over? Man, God is sovereign. He's in control. Man, just do what he says. And he told him this. This is what he said. He said, go to Jerusalem and tarry. I need you to go back to that place. And this is why it's so significant as I get ready to dive into the scripture. Go back to that place of failure. Go back to that place where you left me. Go back to that place where you abandoned me. Go back to that place where those people that you were afraid of, go back. In order to get a breakthrough, some of you have to go deal with stuff that's kept you locked up. You have to go deal with that situation. You want a new man, then you're going to have to take care of yourself. You want to go get a new woman, you're going to have to deal with self. You want to get a new job, you're going to have to deal with self. There's some things that we're going to have to encounter personally before we get the breakthrough. And so many times right before the breakthrough, God's going to call you back to that place where you failed. That place of hurt, that place of pain, that place of the dark hour of the soul, go back to Jerusalem. And so here it is in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and began to speak as the Spirit enabled them. Here it is. They're up in this room. Could you imagine? I would have loved to have been in that room. Man, they're there. Jesus said, let's go. Let's go back to Jerusalem. You have to get there. And as he's speaking these things, he's flying away, going back into heaven. And these guys are sitting there, man, do I really want to go back to that dark place? Do I really want to go back and deal with that situation? These people, the place where I left Jesus, the place where I stopped reading my Bible, the place where I got mad at such and such. Do I really want to go back to this place? You're going back. And my first point I want to make is this, is that when Jesus speaks, we have to obey. See, a lot of y'all are wrestling with God right now. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can't be the MMA fighter. Nobody in here is Conor McGregor. You're not going to be able to fight with Jesus. I'm telling you right now, his arms are too long and yours are too short. You're going to lose. And so we need to learn to just surrender. Lord Jesus, I will do what you're calling me to do. I will be what you're calling me to be. Yes, Lord. Is there any yes, Lord, people in the house this morning? Is there any people in here that's quick to repent and quick to obey? Yes, Lord. You want me to do it, I'll go. You want me to, where is it? But the beauty of it is this, is they weren't alone. They did it together. And there's something about being obedient, not just alone, but with the other people of God as well. And I can imagine in this room, they're arguing with each other. Man, Peter, you left them. You said you was going to be with Jesus. No, no, you left them. The guys over there, man, wait a minute. You fell asleep on them. The girls were like, hey, we was there. We was at the tomb. Where was y'all at? But it said that they all obeyed together. The Bible says this in John 14, 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to them and make our home with them. There's something about obedience. So obedience brings the presence of God. And I hear the Lord speaking this to us this morning. If you want what I have, do what I say. If you want what I have, do what I say. Stop running from the word of God. Stop running from the call of God. Stop running from the things of God. God is calling you into some things today. But the key is this, will you fight through the breakthrough? Will you just not allow the enemy to dictate through circumstances and situations to keep you from getting what God has? And will you allow people to come into the fight with you? Bring your brothers and your sisters in there with you. Will you obey not just individually, but will you obey corporately? The Bible says this in Deuteronomy 28:1, if you fully obey, say fully. Say, I can't partially obey. I have to be all in or all out with God. If he's calling me to do something, I got to say, yes, Lord. No matter if it doesn't make sense, no matter if it doesn't feel good, even if it doesn't, I just can't put it all together. Any control freaks in here? You know what I'm talking about. Like, I need to know. I'm not doing nothing until I see the end result. No, Jesus is like, I'm calling you to walk by faith, not by sight. I'm calling you to walk by faith and not by sight and not just feelings. You're going to have to trust me. And here they are having to trust the Lord. He said, go to Jerusalem. And I need y'all to tarry. And it says that they were together in one place. This word together means on one accord. There's something about being together. And it didn't just stop with them being together, but they began to worship together. See, there's power in worship. When you're going through your dark hour of the soul, it's time to throw our hands up and begin to worship God right where you are. And sometimes I got to bring my brothers and sisters in and begin to worship. The Bible says this in Hebrews 12:12. So then, strengthen your hands that are weak and the knees that are trembling. So when I begin to worship, when I begin to lift my hands up in the midst of the storm, when I give God praise anyway, and I know God is going to come through in advance, I begin to praise him like never before. God, I thank you that you're going to come through. I thank you that you're going to make it happen. Lord, I thank you that you're going to do all these great things. And all of a sudden, strength rises up in me. All of a sudden, these weak knees now become strong. Now I can stand. And it says that they begin to worship together. They begin to sing psalms and hymns together. And as they began to do that, something began to happen. I'm here to tell you this morning, saints, as the praises of God go up, the blessing of God comes down. If you praise him through your storm, I promise you this, something supernatural will begin to take place in you and those around you. When our hands go up, the strength kicks in. And I know these men and women were afraid. Our Jesus isn't here no more. And we're here in this upper room. And it's just you and me and me and you. All we have is each other. But you know what's going to bring peace in the storm is if we begin to worship him. And we begin to praise him. And we begin to thank him. All of a sudden, the atmosphere begins to change. Things begin to shift. See, there's power in prayer. And that's why we're praying not just once a week, but 5 to 6 times a week. That's why when we pray, we get answers like MMAC. That when we pray, something begins to break. When we pray, God begins to move. And that's the power of prayer and the power of worship corporately. The third thing is this, is they stuck together. How many know there's some people that probably wanted to get out of that room? Man, I'm not staying here. These people are mad at us because we chose to follow Jesus. They're out there saying Caesar's Lord, and we're saying Jesus is Lord. Man, I'm scared. What if they put us on the cross just like Jesus? What if they beat us just like they did Jesus, but they stuck together? Are you willing to stick together with your brothers and sisters? Are you willing to go through some things? See, you don't know what you have until you go through something. And what I love about Every Nation New York City is we've gone through some things. We've fought the good fight of faith, and that's why we're still here. And when you go through something, it makes you tighter. It makes the fellowship sweeter. And the breakthrough is on the way, because it said as they begin to sing psalms and hymns and they fought through the fear and they began to worship the Lord, all of a sudden it said the presence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And anything that we need right now is we need a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit to blow through this house, to blow through this church, to get us where we need to be so that we can get out and start doing what God's called us to do. We need the presence and we need the power of the Holy Spirit like never before. And why is this? It's because God is calling you and I to be a witness. He didn't give them the Holy Spirit just so that it could speak in tongues. And people get hung up on tongues. Oh, that church down the road, man, they believe in speaking in tongues. Man, tongues are of the devil. Let me tell you something. I was so full of the devil and I never spoke in tongues. There was a season in my life where I was out there running the streets and living a lifestyle contrary to the Lord, and I never spoke in tongues. But let me tell you, this tongues, this thing we're talking about, this heavenly prayer language, it is a gift. And I'm telling you right now, the only thing the devil respects is power. He's not afraid of your bank account. He's not afraid of your last name. He's not afraid of who you know. He only respects power. And if you don't have power in your life, he's going to punk you. He's going to keep you in that dark space. He's going to tell you what you can't do. But when power comes on your life and you take a stand and you live holy, you live pure, you do what God's called you to do, you throw your shoulders back, you let the Holy Spirit come to you, all of a sudden you'll stand up, you'll change your atmosphere. Men, you want power? Stand up and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and lead your wife, lead your children. Be the man or woman of God he's called you to be, and you'll see God do some great things. You need power. You need power. Society right now is dictating the circumstances, telling you what you got to read, telling you how to look, telling you all this stuff. But I'm telling you right now, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. I'm not ashamed of it. I need the wisdom of God when I'm dealing with stuff with my children, when my wife and I are going through some things. The only thing that helps us stick together is when I'm praying in the Spirit. And that fear comes on me. Man, how are we going to pay rent? How are you going to get your kid in college? How are you going to do all these things? Oh, God, I just begin to pray. And you know what? The good thing is this, is I got to ride or die. Men, I'm telling you right now, get to that men's meeting. Because if you don't get to that men's meeting, that thing that's been dictating you and pushing you around and keeping you from being the man of God, the Bible says it's in Mark 10:9, what God has joined together, let nothing separate. And I see the enemy coming in, trying to bring division between husband and wife, families, just coming in, just doing stuff. But the only thing that's going to cause us to stick together is the power of God. Proverbs 17:17, it says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You got somebody that'll ride out with you. Pastor Nathan and Pastor Kaz will get in the room and we just start calling on the Lord. And we're like, God, we need you to come through. We got a $2.3 million burden sitting on our head. God, we need you to come through. Yes, we're going to get MMAC. We're going to raise the 30 grand and we're going to come back and do great things in this church. But there's something, God, we got to do right there on West 51st Street. We're believing God for some big things. And it's going to take us to do this together, adversity. Do you have people that are getting in the trenches with you and believe God for you, and stand with you, and pray with you, and cry with you, and fight with you, so that you can get the breakthrough that you desire and you deserve? Y'all quiet this morning, but I'm gonna preach anyway. Proverbs 18:24 says, many, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do you have friends? See, there's friends. And there's three types of people that I've learned and I watched over my life. See, we got fans. Fans are people that'll just come around here and they'll sit there and tell you how good you are. Oh, you're the best. Oh, they'll never come at you and confront the stuff that's going on. Oh, you're the best. Fans. But then we got foes. Anybody got some foes in here? Haters? Yeah, I know. I'm being real. Like, I'm just talking haters. People that don't want you to make it. People that are looking forward to your downfall. They're out there, smiling in your face and stabbing you in your back. But then you gotta have that friend. That friend will look you square in the eye when you're crying and whining. Oh, it's so bad out there. What? We serve God. Let's get in this word together. Let's pray together. Let's call on the Lord together. Let's believe God for something. You got a problem going on in your job? Let's pray and believe God to turn this thing around. You got something going on in your marriage, man to man? Let's get in here and figure it out. Let's pray and call on God to see this thing turn around. Do you have friends today? Or do you have people that just leave you out there flapping in the wind? Good luck. It's on you. I hope you make it. No, these people were friends. They stuck together. And because of this, the Spirit of God was poured out. And it spilled not just for them, but now it spilled over into the community. And they broke through, not just in the upper room, but now they're breaking out into the community. And that's what God is calling every nation in New York City to do. Stop being in the four walls of the church. Get out and start shaking some things. Shake the campus. Shake the city. Shake the nation. Start shaking things for the glory of God. And the Spirit, it moved out. And these people are looking like, man, what's going on out here? And that same scary person by the name of Peter. Remember, Peter was scary. Scared. Was so filled with the Holy Spirit, he stood up and he said this in Acts chapter 2:38. As he walked them through the Old Testament and explained to them who this Jesus is and what Jesus has called them to do and be. He said, this breakthrough is not just for you, but you need to repent and be baptized. And these people that are going to stand in this courtyard today, they've given their lives to Jesus, and now they're getting ready to make a public declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's what Peter's saying. You're going to have to stand up, because if you can't stand up in the church, you'll never be able to stand up outside of these four walls of the church. You won't do it. You need to identify with Jesus. He walked the walk and talked the talk, and that's why I love our God. And he says this, it's not just for you. This Jesus is not just for you. This Holy Spirit is not just for you, but it's for your children. See, a lot of times we think it's about us, but it's about the next generation. That's why I love seeing Kana up here singing, because I know the sacrifice that Pastor Kaz and Akie have made to produce that. That's why I love hearing Nathan get up here and talk about what God has done through him because of his mom and his dad's sacrifice serving God. See, it's not just for you, but it's for your children and for all those that are far off. We need a breakthrough today. Some of you, it's not about you. It's about your children. Your children have great destinies, have great birthrights, have great purposes. God has called them to do some great things, but it starts in you as mom and dad. It starts in you as grandmother and grandfather. It starts in you as a spiritual mom, a spiritual father. It starts in you. And this thing spilled over into the community, and the community now is breaking through. 3,000 people added to the body of Christ in one day. Because these men and women chose. They chose to stay. They chose to go to the upper room. They chose to stick together. They chose to worship. They chose to do all these things together, and breakthrough came. You need breakthrough this morning. I can see it on people in this room. You're looking around. Man, I didn't come to church for this. This brother, he's preaching. Man, he seems angry. No, I'm mad at the devil. And here's why. It's because I know every man in this room, right, and woman in this room, your back's against the wall and you need God to move. And the only way he's going to do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way he's going to do that is corporately together. That koinonia, that being on one accord. The Bible says this, and I'm closing. In Psalms 133:1-3, the Bible says this clearly. The greatest scheme of the enemy is division. If I can sow discord, if I can get you to doubt, I got him. But the Bible says this, where there's unity, he commands the blessing. Unity. Me, Kaz, and Nathan fight for unity. Now, we may have disagreements out in behind closed doors, and we do. We mix it up. But when we leave those room and we step out in front of you, we're unified. We're unified. And I really believe because we fight for unity. There's no egos. There's only one superstar in this house, and his name is Jesus. The reason this happens, the reason we're seeing what we're seeing today, is because the spirit of unity. We are together. And the Spirit of God is moving right here in Every Nation in New York City. It's not a show. It's not a game. It's like, oh, we got an Asian pastor. We got a black pastor. We got a white pastor. Oh, this is cool. No, God ordained this and put this thing together, and we fight for the unity. We fight for it.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.